Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans. We're here every week talking about things going on in the theme park industry. I'm Bex. Kev is back. Thanks for making
Hi.
It. Thanks for showing up.
I'm back. I'm back slapped into reality, having been away, as I'm sure you find when you've been on a Disney Universal vacation. You come back after how many days and reality slaps you back in the face.
It does. Oh, everything's
nothing's as happy, as smiley as it was.
No.
But I'm back.
He's back and he's out of the Disney bubble. We'll find out more about that on a future episode. Today, though, we have a guest with us. We are joined by the lovely Danny from Off the Tracks.
Hello. Hello. Hey, hello.
He's on his best behaviour today.
I am. I promise you, I will be. It's all PG from here on.
For the first time ever. If you are unaware of Off the Tracks, you only need to go on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. You just search Off the Tracks OTT. You do a podcast as well. You do like live phone-ins and stuff, so you can get involved with all that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. And you've just started doing events. You're doing one at Alton Towers, which is exciting.
Stressing out. So I'm not gonna lie, it's like less than like 2 weeks now, so I'm just like, oh my gosh, make sure everything now is coming in now, everything's being shipped in, like the gifts that everyone's gonna get. I'm not gonna spoil it, if you know, but yeah, it's starting to all kind of slowly, you know, unravel.
So yeah, it's cool though. You're like, you're literally hiring Nemesis. That's such a cool thing to do.
Well, we were saying like, if we go and get like 10 people, hey, listen, it's great. Then people are fighting the Nemesis for an hour.
Just
can't go wrong with that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Who cares?
Yeah. No, it looks awesome, and hopefully you do more in the future as well. But I was on your podcast, so now it's only right that you come on our podcast, and it's really nice to have you here. We're going to just have a bit of a chat about some things that have been going on, and we're going to be thinking about whether it is, some things are better left in the past, really, when it comes to theme parks, because there's been some interesting news out in the last few weeks about that. Firstly, though, I think we've got to address the elephant in the room, the thing that we've both been ranting and talking about. We've got to get it just out of the way, otherwise it's just going to simmer underneath. Firstly, that Alton Towers t-shirt. anything to add? I mean, Kev, you missed this whole drama, you were away, but anything, if you have missed it, it's the world's worst t-shirt. It looks like a B&Q paint chart.
Well, I thought it was a joke at first when I first saw
we all did.
I generally saw it and thought, someone's made an interesting little quirky t-shirt there.
Not April the 1st.
I can actually buy it. And I had to zoom in. And you know it's a bad t-shirt when you have to stand an inch away from somebody in order to actually see what it says.
Yeah.
Like if you see someone walking around a Hyperion t-shirt icon, it's quite clear what it is. You don't have to stand an inch away from them to make out what it is. Whereas that one, you had to literally could be like stand personal space issues and be like, what does it say? What's all this?
It's not great, is it? It's,
I mean, some of them are a bit questionable though, aren't they? Some of them. Wasn't one of them like opening day?
Yes,
I was like, what is that?
What is opening day?
Fluffy Cloud is on there, you know.
Yeah. There's the 13 Wraiths was a colour, which is interesting because they haven't been seen on Towers for how many years? They dug that one out of the archive. Now, at the time of recording, it's been removed from sale, which is a shame.
Sold out. I think it's been so popular.
Would you buy one even ironically?
No. I know that Jake, whose partnership with me OTT, he says he loves it.
Really?
So now we don't talk.
Block, delete.
I will not associate with anyone with that t-shirt. But I think it's absolutely awful. It's terrible.
It is.
I'm just going to go down to B&Q and I'm just going to make my own. I'm just going to go pick up the little tester, you know, colour things, the paint section. I'm going to attach them, sellotape them to myself. I might make my own one.
Yeah.
You know, see how popular that is. Particularly if you can't get it anymore.
Yeah.
But I love theme park merch.
Oh, yeah.
And wearing t-shirts and stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. But there's some stuff that I wouldn't touch.
Some
and
stuff
unfortunately,
should not.
I think that's probably one as well.
Some stuff should not leave the computer desktop, but it did. And now the other thing that I don't want to start you off here, Danny, is of course the Valhalla behind the scenes experience, which Blackpool Pleasure Beach announced. Now, they announced there was a new Walk the Experience coming, and these have been pretty good. They did one earlier in the year, which was full behind the scenes of Blackpool Pleasure Beach. It was like £35 per person. They do Walk the Big One, Walk the Big One XL. They're all fairly reasonably priced. Chessington said they're going to do a Mandrill Mayhem VIP for £150, and we were all like, what? And then Blackpool...
What are you going to climb? Mandrill Mayhem? Are you going to get scaffolding to get to the top of
the brake pads underneath? Blackpool Pleasure Beach said, hold my beer, and released the Walk Valhalla for £250.
Wow.
Which I think about sent you off the edge, Danny.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen it already, yeah, I went off on a right tangent. And I think I was kind of right as well. From what people were saying in the chat as well, they were disgusted with the price as well. Fuming I was, because these people are paying £250 to experience it. Whether it was 10 tickets or 20 tickets, I don't care. But I just think people need to stop doing this, because if people stop doing it, then they're not going to charge ridiculous amounts of money. It's common sense. So I was more angry at the people who are buying these tickets. I think it's a cheek for Blackpool to even say it's £250. And in my eyes, yeah, people want to see behind the scenes and stuff. But let's be honest, a lot of it's going to be like black cloth, black bin bags from B&M. The effects are not going to be on. So they're going to be hidden pipes here, there and everywhere. And I mean, personally, in my eyes, I can't see it being worth £250. And I will not be watching any videos.
Well, yeah.
It. I will not watch any videos on it, because I just think it's just, I don't want to support that. That's my beliefs of it all. And the same with the whole thing with End Zone as well. I'd never agreed with that. You had to pay to get on a ride.
It's too much. And I wouldn't have minded seeing behind the scenes of Valhalla, but I'm never paying £250 for it. Kev, you're a big dark ride person. Mm. Do you pay good money to go and see behind the scenes?
Not £250.
No.
How much is a season pass at Blackpool at the minute?
Well... they seem to change it every week. I think you could have got one for about
around the same
170. No, less.
I think I'd rather get a season pass.
Yeah.
And go to Blackpool for the whole year, and do it that way than go behind the scenes for a one-off thing. Like you say, Danny, you're not going to see much. There's not really much else that you're going to experience other than the look what I've been able to do.
Well,
that's what it seems like to me.
That's a lot of it. Yeah.
A lot of it feels to me is comes with that VIP price tag that people can say, I've had a VIP tour around the back of Valhalla.
Yeah.
That for me, that's what it is. You know, that's what it comes across. You know, I'm trying to compare it to like how much the Hex one is at Towers. Like, at least with the Hex one, you get a little bit more, you'd be able to see a bit more. Have you done the Hex one, Danny?
I haven't done it, but I used to work at Alton Tower, so I know how the whole system works. So,
you've seen it all, yeah.
And I suppose if you haven't done it, but I bet it's incredible, you know, for people for the first time.
Mm. But yeah, I wouldn't, not 250.
I think people
that's
saying...
not including park. Is it not
no,
including
yeah,
park?
No, yeah, yeah, it doesn't. You don't get your park ticket with it. No, which was that's mad to me, because it would have cost them nothing to just allow you to go into the park afterwards, would it?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So it's making me, you know what, I've calmed down since Sunday, and now I'm starting to see the game just thinking about it. Like, yeah, it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
It annoys me already that, like, for like the ones at Thorpe Park, you have to have done one at Thorpe Park, and you know, the Hyperia one. That they were like, you've had to have already done one at Thorpe Park in order to do the Hyperia one.
Yeah.
So that annoys me already.
Yeah.
That again, you have to have had the privilege of being able to do another one before you can even do Hyperia.
What is that about? That's so bizarre. Is it something to do with the training? Like something that you had to sign something and then that covers it for the other rides around the park? I don't know. But yeah, when I heard about that, I was literally livid as well. I was like, so hang about. If I want to do, I no longer can do it. I've got to do now Swarm. Like what way? No, it's just a way just to make more money out of us. And there's idiots sometimes out there who, excuse my French, but we'll do it. So yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting one. And some of the things that I had back to me, well, it sold out straight away. So, you know, there you go. They could have charged more. And actually, I agree with that. They could have charged more. And I still think the same people would have paid it. I think there's a very small group of extreme fans of the Pleasure Beach and probably content creators who would have paid no matter what to go and have that experience. And I think Blackpool Pleasure Beach know that. So maybe they are the smart ones, knowing that there are enough of us who will pay no matter what. But it's never going to be a long-term thing for them. And I think that's the shame about this, is Blackpool are constantly looking for ways to kind of diversify their revenue and make more money. And actually, behind the scenes of Valhalla is something that probably would appeal to a lot of people at a lower price. And it could have been something that they could have run through the year more often. And Valhalla doesn't open in the mornings at the moment anyway now, does it? So they could almost do it, you know, every weekend behind the scenes, but you're never going to do that for 250 quid. You're not going to have enough people who are going to want to do it. So seems like a little bit of a missed opportunity for them. And, you know, things at Blackpool are interesting, and it does seem like it's a little bit of a money grab. And sometimes when we see parks doing a bit of a money grab, it's a little bit scary and a bit unsettling. And I hope everything turns out all right for Blackpool, because it is somewhere that I genuinely love. Grand National celebrating its 90th this year. It's really good to see that reopening. Obviously, you've got a Victus coming in 2026. I love a gyro swing. What's your thoughts on a gyro swing, Danny?
I mean, I can I don't really do flat rides that great, especially spinning flat rides, that is. And although I did one at Portons Park, which was incredible. And obviously, is it Maelstrom as well at Drayton Manor?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to be fair, the more I go on them, the more I actually love them. And this one apparently is good. Is it going to be that the largest in the UK?
Europe.
The largest in the Europe. So I'm really excited about it.
It's going to look huge.
It is.
Lap bars only as well.
That's insane. Yeah. That's absolutely insane. And I think as well, I think it will do well for Blackpool. I think it definitely needs it. It needs another flat ride for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it.
And it needs something that it's going to draw your attention to.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since Icon. It's like 7 years. So it needed something that you're going to look at and go, oh, look what Blackpool are doing. Because I feel I haven't had anything for a while that's brought a lot of attention to it. So it'd be quite good that they've got something like that, you know, to do that.
Visually impressive, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully everything will go well for them and this will all pay off. What we don't want to see is another park really struggling, which kind of brings us on to our topic of conversation, which obviously earlier this year we heard that Oakwood was closing, a park very close to my heart, close to your heart, Kev. Danny, did you get to Oakwood?
I did. And I ridden the Ultimate and stuff. So, yeah, I was
talking
on that. Oh, not the Ultimate, sorry. Oh, my God.
That's like Water Valley.
Megaphobia. Oh, I don't know where I was going with that. Yeah, Megaphobia. Loved it. Absolutely incredible. And I think it's a great park. It had so much potential because of the space. It had so much space.
Yeah.
So when we heard it, I was actually generally upset. And it was weird as well, because I actually found a mug in my summer ass, and I was like, oh my God, the Oakwood mug. And it was one of my first vlogs I ever did.
Oh, really?
On YouTube. So, yeah. So I went with my lad and everything. So, yeah, it was, I was very, very upset to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, we were gutted. We did a whole episode with it with Andy Hine talking about it, which you can go back and listen to if you've not heard that one. And we were kind of discussed at that point, is there any chance this park might reopen? Is there any chance Megaphobia might be saved? And we kind of all wanted in our hearts to say yes, but then realistically our brains are saying no. But there's been news recently that there could be a very small lifeline in place. So there's a company called RLP. And they're very secretive and no one knows who they are, and there's no names attached to it at all. But it's basically a guy saying he is from the area, he grew up with Oakwood, and he wants to save it, and he has the financial backing to save it, and he has given Aspro a proposal to save it. And at first it was just that statement. Over the last sort of week or so, that's grown even more. They now have a website, which is revive.wales. And this is where they are kind of setting out what they want to do and what their vision is for Oakwood. And it's starting to sound quite achievable. They are very realistic in what they're saying. They're saying, look, the first thing we need to do is just get the park looking decent again. Obviously, it's kind of been stripped of its assets by Aspro, and they will continue to do that. You know, we need to invest in the people who work there. And then we need to look at making a ride investment to draw people back to Oakwood. There's quite a lot of information on that website, so if you've not seen it, definitely worth having a look at, and that you'll find out a bit more about it. But it is all very secretive at the moment. Do you think that this has any legs whatsoever? Can Oakwood survive? Even if they do open it, has it got a future?
I mean, I was shocked when it went anyway. I thought it was doing all right. So when we heard it closing down, it was a bit of like, oh, okay then. Was it really that bad? I think it has got legs, especially from an independent person. It depends how the funding get, the crowdfunding get. If they do, then they're going to get so much support, especially in Wales. But yeah, I can. I probably say yeah, it has got legs. I could see this reopening, and it'd be incredible. It should never have shut in the first place. I think it should have been took over by someone else, and then that was the end of it. Now, obviously, it's a lot easier said than done. But yeah, 100%.
I think first they need to stop people going into the actual theme park and climbing
Yeah,
on
it's a
stuff and
problem,
going
isn't
up, because
it?
I saw pictures of people at the top of Megaphobia. Doesn't look
Yeah.
very safe to me that people are just able to just randomly go in and they can just climb the lift to the Megaphobia and take photos from the top. I think they're going to have to do something about that first.
Yeah.
I
That's
think if,
crazy.
you know, we've seen it happen with Drayton Manor. We all know Drayton Manor was struggling for a while. And, you know, were bought out and obviously is doing really well now and looks great. And there's obviously a big future for Drayton, which is exciting. And so it was nice that Drayton didn't close. So there's potential there. But I think the difference was because Drayton Manor was still operating.
Yeah.
So it was easier for someone to step in and have everything that was there and then just work from there. The problem, like you say now, is you've got a closed theme park that's been closed for a while that people have been walking in and out of and
Yeah.
doing stuff too, so it's harder for me to see that. And like with parks like Camelot as well, you know, that lasted, well, that just stood there and people were going in and doing the same sort of thing for years. And I don't know, I'd like to think so, but
Yeah.
I think they're gonna have to, they'd have to, it might be starting from scratch essentially.
I think so. You've essentially got to go, yeah, we're back in sandbox mode now, aren't we? And we have got to start. And actually, I don't know if you've seen any of the footage recently that's come out from people who have been wandering around, which, as you say, is not ideal because you don't know what damage is going to get done to anything that's left there. But some of the stuff already just looks, it looks like it's been shut for 5 years. You wouldn't have thought that last season these things were operating, because that it's amazing how quickly nature just takes control of stuff that isn't being looked after on a daily basis. It is almost starting from scratch. I mean, they say themselves, RLP, who are the company who say they want to save this, in year one, literally all they do is like assess the infrastructure, establish a new identity for the park, which I don't think is a rename that they're suggesting, because they're saying a new identity without discarding the heritage. So, don't know, that's an interesting one. And introduce better like paths and routes around the park, so more accessible, because obviously Oakwood was built years and years and years ago, and there's quite some of the paths were only sort of step access and things like that. So they say they'd do that, and that's year one. So it's nothing exciting in year one if they do take it over. So they must have some deep pockets to be able to say, right, we can buy this park, we can operate it in year one without doing anything that's going to make anyone want to go, hey, let's go back to Oakwood, apart from us enthusiasts who are like on the first drive down to Pembrokeshire to get back on Megaphobia. And yeah, but then I mean, they've got a full 5 year plan. It's interesting. I didn't expect this to come out at all. I thought it was done. I thought when someone didn't kind of put their head up immediately and say, oh, we'd quite like to buy that, like Loopings or someone like that, I thought the part was done. But they have a plan.
I think some of these parks, these smaller parks, I'm going to say, and do you know what? I say parks in general, especially in the UK. I've noticed that there's a bit of a trend going, and everyone laughed at Drayton Manor when it first opened, Thomas Land. Everyone was going mad, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Thomas Land is all kiddie, kiddie, kiddie. And then Portman's Park popped up with Peppa Pig World. That was incredible. Then Alton Towers popped up with CBeebies Land. And you will notice there's a bit of a trend for all these theme parks that you do need that IP to bring in them families, them young kids. I think it's super important. And I do believe that Oakwood, if all it had to take was, I don't know, if they had a Bluey Land or whatever land it was going to be, it would start bringing in the money for that families. And then you'll get the money from that. Then you can build something else for the thrill seekers and then so on and so forth. The thing with Oakwood, that it never really had, it didn't have a personality. Does that make sense? It didn't know what it was. And that Drayton Manor years ago, 10 years ago, it didn't know what it was. So now it's I think that's what Oak would need. It needs a strong person in marketing say, right, this is what we're aiming for. This is what we want to do. Let's stick to it and let's just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking expert. I'm building a theme park. The only thing I have is a poster. But like as a person with, you know, that kind of, I think that's important.
Do you think that's why like Chessington are going down the Paw Patrol route as well? And Minecraft 100%. And doing that sort of thing. So maybe Oak would, like you say, Danny, need something that, you know, is a particular IP. Off the top of my head, things that haven't been used yet, like Pokemon, for example, you need something that isn't attached to a particular, well, this is owned by Disney or this is the BBC. And this is, you need something that you can literally just grab, put it in there and go, right. And then it'll grab people's attention and imaginations. Yeah. And that's what you need. And we all keep bringing up the Universal thing, but I think whoever does go to Oakwood needs to be planning 5 years down the line as well, thinking, okay, we need something that again is going to draw people to us because Universal's coming. And I think we know we've talked about all the Merlin parks doing the same kind of thing. They're doing their future planning because of that. You know?
It's going to be a tough time to reopen a theme park if it does go ahead. But yeah, like you say, if you get an IP, and I mean, we've had many discussions, are IPs a good thing? And we've talked about actually the things that we really love are the park, our own IPs. They're the things that we really remember from our childhood. But yeah, for a quick impact, get some footfall in. Maybe you're right. And maybe that is what would be required. Only thing is, I guess that costs even more money to get that in there. But yeah, if it's going to save you and give you the footfall. It's definitely interesting. We'll be watching this one and see if this goes anywhere. I have contacted RLP just to see if they've got anything more they want to say on it. At the moment, everything that they have is on their website. But there's 5% of my head which says I might get to go on Megaphobia again. So I'm going to cling on to it until I see that wood kind of being dismantled. I will hold on to it. I don't think Oakwood could reopen without Megaphobia. I think once that coast is done, I think the park is done.
Didn't they spend like 8 million or something like that?
It was ridiculous. Yeah, like 2 years ago. It's absolutely crazy that coaster is now just sat there starting to rot. Yeah, really, really bizarre. But, you know, there's also the question, are some things better left in the past? And did Oakwood close for a reason because it wasn't sustainable, or was it badly managed? And then the other park, which you just mentioned, Kev, which kind of falls into that, is Camelot, which has been shut for some time. And then very recently, there was a job advert, interestingly, for an operations manager. Now, again, this was totally secretive, and it said an operations manager to reopen a much loved theme park in the UK. Obviously, enthusiasts start going crazy and say, oh, what could it be? Where could it be? The only clue in it was that it was within 2 hours of Liverpool. That was written in the job description. Mm-hmm. And if you draw a radius of theme parks that have closed within 2 hours of Liverpool, there's really not that many. And the only one that really made any sense at all was Camelot, which still hasn't had its houses built on it. But again, you are starting from scratch with that site. There is nothing salvageable at that site anymore.
I don't know much about Camelot. However, though, we did cover this a few months ago, and we went so into depth with it. Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, we were getting Google Maps, we were getting circles, and then we were getting the chat to estimate times on this and that. And actually, one of them, believe it or not, was Lightwater Valley.
Is that within 2 hours?
Yes, because if you read it properly, okay, something to do with transportation. I can't remember what it was in the chat. People were figuring it out. We were thinking of car distance, 2 hours, but on a railway system, 2 hours could be a lot longer. So we were trying to figure it all out, not to chuck the spanner in the works here, but I was just like, all right. So,
but Lightwater Valley hasn't shut, has it? And it did say reopen a theme park.
I thought Lightwater Valley shut. Did it not shut?
No, they shut the Ultimate, but it is open. There's only about two rides.
There was one ride. I'm going to sound so stupid. There was one theme park out there where someone did mention something else. Oh yeah, of course it could be that. But yeah, so Camelot itself, I would have loved to visit because I heard nothing but good things about it. in all, like, have you guys been to?
Yeah,
when I was a kid. Yeah, quite a few times.
I went quite a few times. I used to go, if we went to Blackpool, we'd kind of stop at Camelot on the way up or the way back down, because obviously it's so close to Blackpool. And obviously one of the big guys who had a big management position there is Neil Dwyer, who's over at Six Flags Cadia now. That was his kind of park where he started and cut his teeth and worked his way up through management there. It's one of those parks. It's a family theme park with a degree of theming. The shows that they did there, the live shows, amazing, like proper, like on horseback.
You see the jousting, didn't they? The jousting shows really and everything were great.
I don't know why it kind of struggled, to be honest, because when you look at it on paper, it was right off a major motorway. It had a good site. It had a good mix of rides, you know, kids' rides, roller coasters. I don't really know why it struggled, but it obviously did, and so
financially, kind of think, I'm assuming,
yeah, why does someone want to reopen if it was that? I'm now, it's just occurred to me in my head, is there any way that Pembrokeshire is within 2 hours of Liverpool? Because
we're gonna
someone was asking for an operations manager to reopen a theme park, and then this company has said we want to reopen Oakwood. Was there any chance that they were referring to that one? It can't be.
I think Camelot, unfortunately, is one of those ones that has to stay in the past.
Yeah,
because again, you'd have to level the whole thing. You wouldn't be able to do the same thing to what was there before. You'd have to rebrand it. It wouldn't be Camelot technically, unless you fancied doing a medieval style thing. But if you want to go jousting, what shows you go, probably go to Warwick Castle as well. They do all sorts of shows and things there. Thing with Camelot again was that it was, I think, just struggled to compete because it was close to Blackpool. You were about an hour away from Towers. The same with American Adventure. I think eventually the investment stops because there's not, the attendance is dropping, so you can't afford to put anything big and new and flashy in there, and so people just go elsewhere. I remember we never went to Alton Towers first, so we'd done American Adventure, Drayton Manor, Camelot, we'd done all these parks. I remember going to Alton Towers when I was 8, and the difference when I went there to see these other parks, it kind of ruined some of the other parks for me, just because there was something else on that kind of scale. And I think that's the thing. That's why attendance tends to drop at these certain parks, because they just can't compete. And unfortunately, Camelot is just one of those ones that just, you know, it was never going to survive. But I've got great childhood, you know, memories from there. But I think some things you just can't, you're just going to struggle to replicate and bring back again.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me that in this time that we're in, where, you know, all parks are saying they're struggling financially and things are tricky and they're having to make cutbacks, you know, even Merlin Parks are clearly making cuts, you know, with entertainment and even just investment. I mean, when was the last major roller coaster investment at Alton Towers? 2018. That's crazy. That could be the time when potentially two parks in the UK are looking to reopen. It seems like a really bizarre time to do it at. You'd kind of think, well, hang on, everyone's saying they're struggling and you want to reopen parks? I mean, it's great for us as enthusiasts, but I don't know if it's a bit, is it a bit much? You mentioned American Adventure there. Now, this was your home park, both of you, the park that you grew up with. You're both from Derby. I never went there. A park which never reopened. How many rumours were there about American Adventure reopening? But actually, is it a good thing that it never did?
That's the one I was most gutted about, Danny. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most, well, because it was so close to where we live, it was like our local park, technically, like literally 20 minutes down the road. So it was great. And I mean, some of the rides they had were iconic. They were great rides. Even the shows, like you mentioned earlier on, in Camelot, what they used to have, like they used to have proper shows like cowboys and stuff riding around. I mean, you can't get that these days. It's amazing. It's incredible. It was cheap as well. You knew what you were going to get from it all. It was a good day out. I was gutted. I'm not gonna lie. I was really gutted, in all honesty.
I was gutted when they started removing stuff, Danny, as well. When they started removing, because you knew it was struggling when Nightmare Niagara was taken down, the missile disappeared. They had to remove that to another part, save money, and they started investing on little kiddie rides. And that was the point then, I think, we all...
Because didn't it went through so many changes through the years, I think it was. It started off great and everything. Then they brought in like Iron Wolf, which obviously Gladiator at the time, mm-hmm. I think it was the Wolf Man or whatever it was. They built that new coaster. And then they started to revamp it. I think it was, wasn't, didn't they change the name of it? It used to be called American Adventure. Then
changed a few times.
I can't remember. They changed the name anyway, but they used to have these big giant teddy bears, Bex, in the entrance. And they were singing with the guitars and everything at the entrance. And then they got rid of that. And then they got, like you said, they started to get rid of little things around the park that kind of lost its identity. Mm-hmm. And obviously it had the world's largest log flume at the time. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nightmare Niagara. It was the view when you used to come in and they'd have like, you'd come in at the top of the park almost, and you'd be able to look down on the lake. You could see all the rides literally all around the lake. And it was a great view, and it had that kind of, you know, that, oh wow, that kind of exciting thing of, you know, you get to see these rides and stuff. And I think that was a shame that it lost its identity, because it knew its identity was creating this kind of Wild West American style theme park, and it was nothing else like it in the UK. It was really quite well themed as well because of that, and you had the Wild West shows, and you know, people falling off the buildings and doing stunts and stuff, and you had your Ferris wheel with the wagons. Do you remember the Ferris wheel used to go around with the wagons?
That was quite iconic, wasn't it?
And even like the octopus-style ride on the lake.
Yeah.
Remember the octopus-style?
Oh.
Coaster. The octopus-style flat ride that we used to spin round. It was out on this little bit on the lake, and all sorts of things like that made it really unique.
Yeah, they had the train as well. We went around the whole lake as well. It went all the way around. And then they started bringing out goat carts near the missile. I remember that as well. And the rappers were incredible. They were massive. But I do remember they had like, is it Mount Mushroar? The kind of with all the heads and stuff. And they had like a Motion Master ride in there as well, which they showed different films and stuff.
I think it was Alien. I mean, they did like Alien at one point.
Yeah, they did an Alien one. Mm. Yeah, they did a few. And I mean, overall, it was always busy. So I don't understand why. Didn't it just shut just like that? Didn't it just, this is our closing date, we're closing it from this date, and that was it? It wasn't like you could see it decreasing in a way.
I know it was a couple of years where they removed, like, say, Nightmare Niagara. And they were like, right, well, we need a bit more identity. Well, let's go down the kiddie family route. So that's when they got rid of like the Twin Looper, Missile, Nightmare Niagara, just all disappeared. Even the Runaway Train. Do you remember the Runaway Train?
That, I do.
They replaced that with like this very tiny little Octonaut style coaster. And that was the route they were going down. But what worked, because it had that Alton Towers vibe of, here's some stuff for thrill seekers. Here's some stuff for families. Rapids are great family rides. Runaway Train's a great family ride. And you could accommodate for all different people. So I think you knew it was the end once they started getting rid of some of the big attractions, basically.
Yeah. And this is one of the things as well where we heard about like Universal Studios coming to Great Britain. Now, it may help certain theme parks or it may damage them. And I genuinely think Alton Towers, not just Alton Towers, but other theme parks around the UK, kind of had an effect on it as well, because they were injecting more money, they were building bigger and, you know, bigger thrill rides and this and that. People wanted to go there than more than American Adventure. So obviously that's how they lose their money. And I just hope that doesn't happen when Universal Studios Great Britain come over here, especially to your little parks, like, you know, your Lightwater Valley, if you say, or your Drayton Manor, or do you know what I mean? I just hope it doesn't do that. Because I genuinely think American Alton Towers and Thorpe Park and these, you know, they kind of run it all, or the theme parks. But that's what I can imagine when I was younger, that was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. I think, yeah, definitely at the time, like you said, Kev, they just couldn't compete. And although I never went there, I have watched, there's a really good documentary on YouTube. I think it was by Expedition Theme Park, one of his Expedition Extinct documentaries, which is really, really good. And it's amazing, actually, when you look at that park, because it started off as like a Great Britain park or something, which was just terrible. No one went. And then somebody was like, no, we've got to like really heavily theme this. And it is. Everything's going to be themed. And like you say, the Mount Rushmore kind of heads, like going to that level with the theming, having your little mini Ferris wheel themed. And when they were doing that, it was working and it was successful. And it was only when they started going away from that and they started letting the IPs come in, and then they started kind of diminishing that whole, you are in a Wild West themed land, that it seemed to struggle. And I think that is something that, you know, parks can probably learn from. If you're very clear with your focus and your identity and you stick to it, maybe you'll do all right. When you start being a little bit unsure about what you are, like you say, Danny with Oakwood, you wasn't sure what it was anymore.
Yeah.
I think we see it a little bit with Blackpool at the moment. To me, it's a seaside amusement park. It can do that amazingly. If it tries to become a theme park, starts to lose its way. A resort, it's not a resort. It's not. It's a seafront amusement park. It, like, stick to what you know, but do it the best. Be the best in Europe. Be the best in the world at being a seaside amusement park.
And I think that's why Portland's Park work as well, because they know. Yeah. I've always said, like, these parks know what lane they need to be in and just stick to it. And they literally drown out any noise beyond the sides, and they just concentrate on what they want to do, and it works.
Which is interesting with Poulton's, because of the distance. Like, even for us here in the Midlands, to get down to Poulton's, it's a good 3.5-4 hour drive. Yeah. But people are going to go if it's worth going, and that's why Poulton's is working well. I think with American Adventure, the other thing was that you think at the time when it was declining, Alton Towers had Nemesis, Oblivion, Air. And I think we're building Rita as well around the time. These are like multi-million pound B&M. I know Rita isn't, but like multi-million pound B&M coasters. And American Adventure still had Twin Looper and the Missile. And even like by this point, Fort Park was being invested in. We had Colossus, Nemesis, Inferno. So you could see the direction these parks were going in. And unfortunately, you know, these ones are being left behind. But Drayton Manor is interesting because Drayton Manor still had Shockwave and yet was still, you know, an apocalypse, but people were still going. So I still can't quite figure out the correlation, you know, between that and not American Adventure.
It's because it's all about the generations of the time as well. You've got to think about that. Drayton Manor itself injected a load of money into Thomas Land. At the time, there was nothing for kids around the area in the Midlands, that was. So why not? And that's where they got all that money from. Even to, I've heard and seen many videos on speaking to the MD of Drayton Manor, and she says a lot of the money comes from Thomas Land because of how great it is. At the time, American Adventure never had that. So they just kind of got run over by these other parks.
Yeah. I remember you saying, Kev, that was it John Bream went to American Adventure and he wanted to build a B&M at American Adventure.
Well, there was originally, they'd had plans, I think, in mind that they were going to put a B&M coaster at American Adventure. But I think, again, that was just part of the rumour mill at the time. And I mean, it would have been great if they did, because to be fair, for me and my family, we love visiting theme parks. So the more theme parks to visit, the better, really. And this was always my thought with Universal, and we haven't really discussed this, but like, I like visiting other parks. I think, did you guys mention this when you were on Bex on OTT? Mention about, you don't want to always visit the same park over and over and over again. Was it you, Danny? Did you mention like with Towers?
Yeah, I was saying like,
you get a bit of this kind of fatigue with visiting the same park. And that's why it was nice having, you know, I can go to Alton Towers. I might go to Drayton. American Adventure is here. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, gives you a bit of variety. I don't want it to be that one massive theme park opens in Universal and all of a sudden that's the only one that...
Yeah.
And it's going to be amazing, but I don't really want to sit in a queue for 300 minutes for something as well.
I get you.
Do you know what I mean? That, like, it's nice to spread it out a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And I think we all hope that what it will mean is just that other parks step up and that there's enough money, hopefully, to go around everyone. And sometimes you'll go to Universal and have an expensive day. And sometimes you go, yep, I'm going to go to my local smaller park and it's maybe 30 quid to get in. Because let's not kid ourselves. Universal is going to be £100 plus to get in. Like, if anyone thinks it's going to be less than that, they're kidding themselves. Like, it's not. It's going to be an expensive day out. Season passes. I know you're already saving up, Danny. I think I am as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm saving up for mine.
But they're going to be thousands. Like, it's not going to be comparable to what we know at the moment. So, yeah, I still think there's going to be a space for these smaller parks. Whether we'll have two more in that lineup remains to be seen. Hopefully we don't have any less. You know, we've mentioned like Water Valley. I do worry for like Water Valley. I worry for Flamingoland at the moment. You know, every video I'm seeing from Flamingoland, it looks dead.
I mean, it's huge as well. You don't, the scale of it, the zoo is amazing. It's so good, but the rides are just like so outdated now. Well,
And
obviously, apart from sick.
apart from sick, but I can't, like, I know this is really weird, but I can't, like, bring myself to say, like, I hate
In
that
our
name. I hate it so
I know.
much.
We're not down with the kids. That's the
No,
problem.
I know.
Sick.
It's just such an
Let's
awful. I
go
know
on
it's a brand,
sick. It
but
just
oh,
doesn't sound right
it's
in my
just
head when I say
awful.
it.
It's so bad.
Can we just Colossus 2.0? Can we not just.
Yeah, the smooth
Everyone, I remember
Colossus.
saying that, yeah. It is. It's so much better than Colossus. So much better than Colossus.
The
I
smooth
did,
version of Colossus. I'll just call it that.
But yeah, I do worry about these parks, and I hope that they're going to survive, and I hope they don't have to resort to charging £250 for experiences to a core of enthusiasts, because that's not a good place to be in for anyone or for
Not.
any of us.
No, but to go back to the point of should they do we want them back? I think American Adventure again is one of those ones that you kind of look back on fondly, and I'll always look back on it fondly. Like it's really funny looking through old family photos, like with the bears that used to play. I'm sure there's photos of me and my sister when we were like 5, 6 years old,
Oh,
you
you need to
know.
find one of those. I'll stick it online.
I know if I message my mom, I know she will be able to find them like that. She'll know exactly where they are. So I think it's better to leave in the past. Because I remember
I get
people
that.
used to get really funny with me, Danny, because I was a huge fan of the Haunted House, Alton Towers. And when they were going through that phase of transitioning from Duel into Curse of Alt Manor, everyone was like, it has to be something completely brand new. You can't go back to the past. As much as I'd love to visit, go back in time, go back to 1992, ride the haunted house back in 92 as it was. Sometimes you've got to move on. And I know Curse of Alt Manor is in line with the haunted house and the same track. And as much as I'd love a trackless dark ride at Towers, and they could have done a trackless dark ride or something, sometimes you've got to keep moving with the times, haven't you? And you can't always just go back to the things that you remember as a kid and as your childhood, and do that.
Yeah, nostalgia will
No,
kill us all. But
completely
yeah,
agree.
we'll definitely keep our eyes on this. We'll see what happens. The one thing that I really hope that comes out of all of this, is that just our parks are in a better place. Because let me tell you, having just come back from Europe again, I went back to Plopsaland. I went to Toverland this time. I can't deal with how much better these parks are than ours anymore. Like, it's I don't understand why we're falling behind so much. And I don't mean in terms of like roller coasters or anything, because we have got some amazing coasters in this country. But I just mean the feel of being in the parks. They just make me happier over there than in this country. And I don't know why it is. They're clean, they're tidy, the staff are happy to be there. It's a nice experience. There's rides for my daughter who's 4 next to massive coasters that I can go on. Everything's mixed together. There's loads of flats. There's so many flats. I don't know why we are getting this wrong. And I really,
Yeah,
really,
because
really hope we see a
because
change.
we were ahead, weren't we? UK were ahead, like yeah, about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we were up there. We were not many people really went to Europe. They were like, no, we've got the best rides here and theme parks here. My gosh, have things changed dramatically? Like, oh my word.
I had someone
Yeah.
message me yesterday who says, I don't even go to UK park. He's in the UK. I don't even
No.
go to UK parks now. I save my money and I spend it at Europa Park. And
Don't
that's
blame them.
crazy given how far away it is. So I'm not asking for everything to be universal level. I mean, if when they Universal opens, when it's going to be incredible. But I just if all of the parks could just step up a little bit.
I would even say though, Bex, it's not even about look, the theming's incredible, the immersion of it all, but just the simple thing like the operations. Like, what is going? Everything's breaking down. Like, everything's valiant. It's like, what's going on? Like just the other day, I just saw the runaway mine train just ceased, like lost power. I was like even that's breaking down. The runaway mine train. Yeah, so I'm just, yeah, it's The operations is very important. It's one of the first things you need to sort out first, because otherwise you've got no ride.
You've got no ride. So, yeah, you've got no ride, and you've got a load of really annoyed people who've spent a lot of money to be there. I mean, we've done episodes on this. Go back and listen to Francis Jackson talking. Go back and listen to my episode with Mark Shaw, who talks all about how he turned around a theme park from being the lowest rated to the highest rated, and how he did that through customer service. Like, these examples are out there. These are people who've worked in the UK who keep telling me it can change and it should change. I'm now just waiting for the change.
The thing for me, you just want to feel like a valued guest.
Yeah.
And that's why when you go to certain these theme parks, you feel valued. And that does include ride operations and stuff, because you feel like they are taking care of these rides and they are looking after it. They've got personnel in place to deal with all these sorts of things. When you go to some of these parks in Europe, you might notice one ride is down for about half an hour and that's it. Everything else is open, running all day, non-stop.
I was at Toverland, which is not the Netherlands' biggest theme park at all. You know, it's nothing on the scale of Efteling, and nothing was on a staggered opening. It was all open at park opening. Just why can't we not do this? We've covered as much as we can. We don't have any of the answers. All we can do is keep following this. It will be very interesting to see if any of these parks do reopen. Let me know. Do you think Oakwood is going to reopen? Is there a chance? Is this just pie in the sky thinking and it should be left in the past? Same with Camelot. Any chance at all that we're going to see this park reopen? I would love to hear your thoughts on that one. We will be back next week. Before you go though, Danny, I've got one more question for you.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where we ask our guests if you could only save one coaster in the world. Everything else is getting destroyed and there's nothing you can do about it. Which one are you going to save? What should we all be getting ourselves
on? I'm interested for this one.
Is it going to be the missile?
Is it a roller coaster or can it just be any ride?
Well.
Any dark ride.
So it...
Have I complicated
Bex,
this?
It's well.
Well, look. It's always been a roller coaster. I allowed a dark ride when I spoke to the guys from Catapult, because their thing is dark rides and that's what they do. It's generally a roller coaster. We'll get your roller coaster and then I'll hear what you would have said.
My roller coaster that I would save would have to be Hagrid's motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Interesting. The same as Nick Hudson. That was his vote last week.
Oh, was it?
It was. What's your reason? Let's see if it's the same.
That is not just a roller coaster. It's a full experience from the minute you walk through the queue line onto the ride itself. I mean, the set pieces are ridiculous. The layout is just mental. It's one of the most expensive roller coasters out there. I mean, they just got it. And usually I don't use this word lightly, but perfect. That ride is perfect. You could take that anywhere. You wouldn't change anything about it. So yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen they've just added it to the Express Pass at Universal?
No.
They've just done an Express Pass very recently.
If you have an Express Pass at Universal Islands of Adventure, you can now use it on Hagrid's. Yeah, no more rope dropping at 6 a.m. Book your night in that premier hotel.
That's it.
Get those express passes and you can use it on Hagrid's. And apparently, I've seen examples, the queue is about 120 minutes, classic for Hagrid's, and people were getting on it with Express in about 20. So,
I'm better.
Exciting news over there for Hagrid's. Okay, if it wasn't a roller coaster, what would you have said?
For a dark ride, I would have probably said, oh my God, you are putting me on the spot here. I'd say Spider-Man. There we go. Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah. No, both Islands of Adventure.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that your favorite park? What a ride.
Yeah. I mean, no, Europa Park is my number one.
But
it's only recently that I went back to last year to ride Spider-Man, and I didn't realize how great that ride is and how the age of it, because it's like, isn't it like,
it's really old.
And I'm like, how's that even possible? Like, but to this day now, I think it's better than Transformers. And originally, I did think it was better than Forbidden Journey. Because Forbidden Journey was like still up there, but now it's just dropped because we had such a bad experience on it. And it was a few times as well. So yeah. Spider-Man, straight up there. Love it.
Okay, great interesting. Ride. You need to get over to Epic and go on Monsters Unchained. I would love to know your thoughts. Oh, have you booked it?
Next week. next week.
You're going next week?
No, I'm booking it next week.
Are you booking it? Okay. Okay, nice. Fun. You'll love it. I'm interested to know how Monsters Unchained beat Spider-Man for me. And I love Spider-Man.
Oh my God, don't.
It was like, it's similar to Forbidden Journey, but it's just without feeling sick and just animatronic combination.
I'm so jealous.
You'll love it. And Stardust Races, I'm not even going to start talking about because I talk about it too much.
Go nuts.
The number one coaster changed like 4 times, I think, in the last couple of months, Daniel. Everywhere she's been. I've just been on Tauron. That's my number one. No, I've been to Plopsaland. No, Ride to Happiness. That's my number one. Oh, no, Velocicoaster.
Yeah, now
it kept changing.
Yeah, it just, yeah, phenomenal.
All great rides, by the way. All great rides.
They are all great rides. But it's interesting you mentioned Europa Park because literally I was on Instagram saying someone talked me out of booking Europa Park and nobody has. When I asked that question, every single person was like, you've just got to go and do it because I've never been to Europa Park.
It's great. Yeah, because I remember you saying that, and it's literally huge. I mean, you've got to do. You can probably do it in 2 days, 3 days. I'd say a more relaxed, chill out, look around properly. But some of the rides there, Bex, oh my gosh, are incredible! Great,
you're not helping.
But it's another well-run theme park, isn't it? As well, Danny.
Yeah,
they know how to run those theme parks over there, don't they?
Oh, the Germans. Yeah. You're not going to have inefficiency.
It's efficient
from the
as anything, isn't it?
It's so great. I love it. Oh yeah, no fast tracks, no rap pass. It's just you go in there, no queues, the operations are great. Oh, it's great. Love it.
Oh, you're not helping. Right, this time next week, I might be in Europa Park.
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's just all go. Yeah. We'll all go. Let's do a trip over there.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be so much fun. They've got a podcast studio, you know. Yeah. Danny, thank you so much for joining us on Parkcast today. If you do want to go and check out all the OTT stuff, where's best to find you?
You can find us on our socials, obviously Instagram, Facebook and X. And our YouTube, obviously.
Don't watch if you're of a nervous disposition if something's upset Danny.
Dan rant. Everyone calls it a Dan rant. Yeah, it comes with an 18 certificate.
Post-watershed viewing. Thank you so much for joining us on Parkcast. If you have enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like and subscribe if you haven't already so you never miss an episode. We'll be back next week, but for now, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.